Blog Talk Radio.
Carly, something's wrong here. Carly, can you hear me? For some reason, we don't have a connection there. You might have to hang up and call back in because we don't have any audio on you. This is Carly Walden Show, Hospice Survivors and Victims, and we are going to have an open mic night tonight and see if that doesn't... open up the lines to a lot of people who've been wanting to talk, and due to time constraints, we haven't been able to get to. So if you have common questions about this, about hospice, what's going on in there, why you should be very wary of hospice, please let us know, because Carly, do we have you on now?
Yes, I'm on. Can you hear me?
Okay, there we go. Okay. I was just talking about we were basically having an open mic night tonight. And go ahead and speak, Carly.
Yes, I was just going to say good evening to everyone, wherever y'all may be in this world tonight. Welcome to Hospice Survivors and Victims. And I'm very excited to have Marty Oakley and Luann Fleming and Robin joining us tonight on the show. It is open, like Marty said, it's open mic show tonight. And we have a lot of good information to get in and expose to everyone this evening. We're going to be continuing the conversation on self-euthanasia and what's occurring. And not what's just occurring with our elderly and the disabled, but also with our babies. And we are going to talk about baby Alfie Evans that was murdered against his parents' wishes, and the government chose to end baby Alfie's life. So we have a lot to discuss and a lot to get to this evening. With that being said, Marty, and Luann, how are y'all doing this evening?
Okay, Luann and Robin will be a little bit delayed. They're stuck in traffic, but she said they'll join us as soon as they get in.
Okay.
This situation with this baby Alfie, this young baby, had a genetic disorder.
Yeah.
And they decided at this hospital in England that he just wasn't worth saving. And they did hospice protocol. They starved and dehydrated this baby. First, they took him off the ventilator. And to everyone's surprise, he started breathing on his own. But that
wasn't enough
to indicate he had the will to survive. Because they decided that he wasn't worth saving, they pulled the plug on him. It was actually one of the most terrible things I've seen in a long time. It's bad enough when they do it to the elderly and the disabled, but to do this to a little toddler. He was actually, they immediately, just like in hospice, immediately pulled hydration and nutrition and starved and dehydrated this baby to death against his parents' wishes. They wanted to take him from that hospital in the UK to a hospital in Italy that thought they could help this, and they wouldn't let them take him. They were determined to kill this child, and kill him they did. Did you see the article where that one doctor said that it was not a matter of killing a child. It's just redirecting care.
Mm-hmm.
Now, excuse me, care indicates that you are doing something to benefit. How is redirecting care starving and dehydrating till they die?
Right. Good point, Mari, because it's not. They killed baby Alfie. And it's terrifying to know that we're already terrified to know that this is what's occurring in so many rogue hospices across the world. But, when it hits home, just like it does with our elderly, with the babies as well. And how heartbreaking that this child, even, the Pope, and they all did not want to give up on this child, we're fighting for this child to give him a chance to live. And it was the hospital in Rome that had the invitation to take him. And, for the British courts to uphold the decision to take a government action, where have we come as a people where government is deciding life and death decisions for our family? We've got control.
From the news over there, it said forcing 23-month-old Alfie Evans to die by starvation is not killing. Dr. Ranjay Singh argued on UK's This Morning ITV program. He said withdrawing life support and refusing to allow Alfie's parents to take him home, feed, and care for him is instead merely redirecting care. This is not the killing of a child. This is redirecting care to make them more comfortable. How do you... I don't know what happens in someone's mind that these kind of comments can come out with any sense of sincerity. How would starving and dehydration, which is very painful, it's a very painful process.
Yes, it is. It's a very painful death.
Yeah, and this made them more comfortable? What did they shoot this child up with to keep him quiet while they tortured him like this? This is torture. Carly, this on the Human Rights Convention on Human Rights against torture.
Yes.
Starvation and dehydration are top of the list. There is a prohibition globally on withholding food and water for any reason. It is a crime against humanity. It is considered the ultimate torture. And they did this to a toddler and call it redirecting care?
Yes.
How sick
is
this going to get?
I'm afraid. That's why I swear to God, I pray that people are listening, Marty, to this show, because I think this is one of the biggest problems that we are facing as collectively, as a world community. And especially in America, it's very sad that we have gotten to the point that it literally has turned into a killing machine. And look, the government here is funding this. Medicare funds 100% of hospice. And just like the government decided for baby Alfie whether he was going to live or die, the government's deciding, and not only that, but we know that corrupt, doctors and judges and these hospices are all in cahoots working together to receive kickbacks, and it's all for profit. And our loved ones are paying the ultimate price, and they're being murdered in these places. When did this ever become comfort care? when did it ever become that it's more human to do this to someone? It would be inhumane to let a person die an actual natural death. I mean, you know, it's insanity. It's insanity what we've seen and heard. You know, all of these stories for years. It's you know, and for those that don't believe that this is what's going on, this is happening, okay? Every day, it's happening right now in so many rogue hospices and other facilities, because don't forget, hospice will go anywhere. They'll go anywhere, into the hospital, your home, nursing homes, and you must literally protect your life, literally. It is that bad, Marty. Yes.
Well, what I've noticed as I see more and more things come out from the powers that be, the people that orchestrate these premeditated murders, is they couch mm-hmm. what they've done in these warm, fuzzy terms: comfort care, dying mm-hmm. with dignity. You don't want them to suffer, do you? And then, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying, and this stuff, to me, is almost mocking not only the victim but the family who's standing there devastated because they can see in front of them exactly what's happened. You're watching a slow-motion, premeditated murder. We've talked about yeah. this, Carly. This is no different than a prison execution. Except in the prison, we're far more merciful. We give them a last meal. And the process
right.
for executing them is rather swift, but it is the same process. They administer drugs that paralyze them so that they can't move, cry out, flinch, jerk, do anything. And that is for the benefit of the people who are sick and want to watch this happen.
Yes.
And that's
yes.
there. It isn't for that person strapped down to that table. They are rendered
right.
totally paralyzed. And then a first shot, a second shot after that paralytic is given, a second shot starts shutting down their organs in an extraordinarily excruciating, painful thing to have happen. They can't cry
mm-hmm.
out. And then after a few minutes, they give them what hospice does, the kill shot. That shuts
yes.
everything off. And
to be
in this
specific,
case,
this kill shot,
yeah.
people, I want our audience to know, that is morphine. It may be morphine sulfate or Roxanol
mm-hmm.
morphine, Ativan,
mm-hmm.
any benzapines, okay? Any class of benzapines, but their favorite is Ativan. Any
yeah,
antipsychotic, Seroquel or Haldol.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And that is
and,
the kill shot.
Yes. And what
it
bothers
is.
Me, Carly, I think I told you here about, it's been about 7 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and it was right after hospice actually started changing. And I was aware of it in the Affordable Care Act, what we know as Obamacare, when they were talking
mm-hmm.
about withholding treatment and treatments they wouldn't pay for and this and that and something else. Sarah Palin, who I have no respect for, but was accurate about these death panels. And at the
mm-hmm.
time, it sounded outrageous. Who would do that? Who with good conscience and any sense of morality would even think of such a thing? But that woman was right. These are death
mm-hmm.
panels. And what they do is they make a determination on your age. And if they
mm-hmm.
invest in your health care, will you be able to recover to the point where you could pay back the system for the money they invested in you? You see, you're a commodity. If that comes
yes.
up high risk, or as let's say zero, you're gone. You're gone. You will not get any health care. Now, in another part of this bill also, when you hit the age of 60, your access to health care drops by about 25% of what's available to you. When you hit 65 to 70, it drops down to about 50%.
Mm.
And once you hit that 70 mark, now maybe 18 to 20% of health care that is available to the rest of the population younger than you, is available to you. Catastrophic care, not available. Advanced cancer care, not available. Heart surgeries, not available. And you cannot even pay for them yourself. It is a felony to pay for those services yourself. Now, what this has done, Carly, is caused many people to travel overseas to get treatment because they can't get it here. And go ahead.
Which I think is a very smart move. If I were in this in their shoes, I would do the same thing.
Exactly. And but they can't get the care now. So let's say you. You go into the hospital. I told you I attended that meeting here in Minnesota. It's been about 3 weeks ago now. And I thought maybe about 6 to 12 people would be there. And there were close to 100 people there, 60 and over. And what I heard these people talking about is just what you talk about every week. People are terrified of their doctors. They talked about being mocked and ridiculed and humiliated for questioning medications, questioning the treatment or lack thereof. And when it came to medications, when they said, I don't want these medications because of all the adverse effects, they were threatened with, well, if you don't take these medications, I'll report you for noncompliance to Medicare and get your benefits pulled. So the suggestion was made in the room, well, just get the prescription and don't take it. And one lady said that won't work because when they give you these medications, and this can be Cipro, Levaquin, any statin drug, which we know are horrendously damaging, they artificially reduce your cholesterol by the magnesium binding to the calcium in your bones, and then it binds to the cholesterol and you pee it out or however. And so it causes osteoporosis. It also causes a tremendous increase in your risk of heart attack or stroke. She said if you don't take them, what they do is make you come in once a week for blood level testing. And if your blood level isn't where it should be, then they report you. I almost screamed. I thought, wait a minute, this is coercion. This is duress. I said, what about hospitals?
Yes, it is.
How many of you, you know, how do you feel about going in the hospital? And at this time, these people don't know who I am. They just think I'm somebody in the room, which is what I wanted.
Right.
And the lady said, she says, I don't go in the hospital. And several people said, I'm not going in the hospital. And I said, why is that? Why won't you go? Because I know too many of my friends and relatives that went in the hospital, like for maybe a broken hip or they had pneumonia or, you know, they had some other thing that in today's medicine is relatively minor. And they never came home. And not only did they not come home, they disappeared and we never knew what happened to them till maybe 2 or 3 months later. And then we were only notified that they had died maybe a couple weeks before. And I'm listening to this.
So
Carly,
people are starting to pick up on, you know, thank God, people are starting to pick up on what's going on.
Well, and I when I got home, I started doing some research, of course, on this, and I find out that hospitalizations for people 60 and over are down over 65% over the last 5 years. Much of what I read said it was in conjunction with hospice. And I told you I found those stats on Health and Human Services from 2010. I haven't been able to find any since then. And I can find it. If it's out there, I'll find it. And two and a half million people in 2010 died who were on Medicare. I never heard a report on that anywhere. And 80% of those people died in the hospital or hospice. Now, what do you think the chances are that all of those people were terminally ill?
Right. Exactly.
I think
that's the point.
Yep. They were euthanized. For the most part, I would hazard a guess, they were euthanized. And
yes, they were.
Basically, that's a real nice, another one of them fluffy sounding words, meaning we killed them. They were old.
Right.
We don't want to take care of them. And, you know, and this stuff
and,
is scaring
and
me.
They do it, and they know what they're doing. So, like, I think I had spoke with you earlier. We had a woman come into the home where my grandmother is, and she was with a home health agency, and she had just quit working for a hospice and said, "I cannot do it. They are killing people." I saw them killing, murdering people, and I could not do it. My heart could not do it. And I told her, I said, "Well, God bless you for getting out of there and knowing that you can make a living a different way instead of killing people and doing,
Carly, my question is, we've always known in the population, there have always been predators of one sort or another. But it seems to me over the last 20 years, we have a proliferation of pedophiles, rapists, murderers, and this whole elite class of medical personnel, politicians, and others who seem to be walking around empty shells. And what I mean by that is they have no soul. They have no sense of conscience. They have no cognizance of the fact that they are tampering with human life. They don't care. I mean, look at what we've run into trying to deal with politicians and attorney generals and, you know, governors and everybody else. Look at what we have run into.
Right.
And
it should never be that way.
Brian Kinter just joined us.
Something should have been done. Yeah.
Yep. And
Brian.
Luann.
Brian Kinter.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Brian.
Oh. Robin?
Yep, I'm with you. I'm with you, Marty.
Yep. Okay.
Hey, Brian.
And Luann has joined us, too. So.
Right, Robin's here, too.
Thank you. And Robin's there, too. Tell him to leave and bring Mighty Mouse. And there we go.
Thank you so much for coming. This is great.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming. What we're talking about so important on the show.
Right.
This is just,
I know it is.
To me. Go ahead, Robin.
Well, I appreciate being invited back. Mighty Mouse had a talk with me. He said sometimes I use words that are kind of big, and he doesn't like that because he's not sure what I'm talking about. So I'm going to try to make it brief and succinct. Oops, there's one. Small, so everyone can get it.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Thanks, Rob.
Yeah.
I appreciate
it. Speak in layman terms, Mighty Mouse.
But like I said, what I was saying here was it seems like if within the population there has been a rising up, a proliferation of these eugenicists, of people who have no value for life except their own, possibly, who don't see any value in the rest of us. They have commodified us. They are trying to get rid of as many of us as possible, and the couching all of this in terms like comfort care. You know, you don't want them to suffer. Don't do this to them.
Helps with the breathing. That's the biggest. That's one of the biggest lies. Morphine stops your heart. Morphine stops the breathing.
Yes. And it just, I don't know how this got to this point. Like I say, I know it started under Obamacare. I know it started in 2010 when hospice got an $11.5 billion infusion of cash to hasten end of life. Who in the hell are these people to decide someone else's life is not worth living? Who are these people? And I think you should all.
Who are these people? That's right. Yes. We should all be standing up, and we have to face this because every family is going to face this. Let's just get real down to reality. You know, every family is going to face this.
One of the things I was looking at is your life expectancy according to your zip code. Now, many years ago, when I was a young woman, and this has been a long time ago, I lived in Georgia, southwest out of Atlanta, very close to that area, has now been absorbed by Atlanta. But I was low income. I was divorced, supporting both my children by myself. I lived in a low-rent neighborhood. It was nice, but, you know, it wasn't anything spectacular. I had become ill, and I went in the hospital because they couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. It turned out I had a viral infection. They performed a hysterectomy on me total. I had no reason to doubt them or ask them why they did this. They just said it needed to be done. Well, it turned out the viral infection was in my lungs. So I'm wondering, why did they do this total hysterectomy on me? And thank God I already had my two boys. It wasn't until about 5 years ago I found out that, according to my zip code, I lived in what was called a gray area. And any woman who lived in that area that went into the hospital for any reason got sterilized. And it was because we were low income, and I don't think we were not poor. I mean, by any standard, we were not poor. I worked like a dog to keep us off welfare, and we had a nice place to live, but it wasn't in some big high-dollar neighborhood, but it was in one of these gray areas. And I found out with subsequent research that over a 9-year period, 43,000 women of low income in 6 states were sterilized unnecessarily. And I found my name on the list. And,
oh, my God, Marty.
Yeah. So they do these things. And your life expectancy is basically determined by your zip code. Your zip code will determine what kind of experimental testing, biological testing they can do on you, what you're exposed to, blah, blah, blah. Then you come into 2003. Donald Rumsfeld goes into the Department of Defense regulations. Previously, the federal government, if somebody in the Defense Department wanted to test a bioweapon or something else on the public, he had to promote the plan, go to the president, get his approval. And it could only apply to certain people in certain areas. You had to live in one of these gray areas. Donald Rumsfeld changed the DOD regulations. Now only the department head can make that decision. They don't have to go to the president. And he says they do not have to give informed consent. They don't ever have to admit what they did, even if they get caught. They're totally immune, and this applies to pregnant women and minorities also. And so now we move ahead, 2010, the Affordable Care Act. And what we see is the codifying into law of these very precepts, these very concepts, that depending on where you live, what your income is, what your ability is to earn income and pay back the system, is determining whether or not you live or die. And the perfect vehicle for that is hospice, trading on its previous good name of being a good Samaritan. That, because ask anybody in the public, and Carly, tell me if I'm wrong, you mention hospice, 99 people out of 100 think it is some do-gooder organization, and at one time it was. But
right,
they have co-opted that branding, and now it is the Grim Reaper.
Yes,
you're
absolutely right, and I'm glad that you bring that up, because there are so many people that are deceived, and they're being deceived by all of the services that they offer, and, you know, all of these things, because they have always been looked at as a good Samaritan outfit. They do so good. They did wonderful with my mom and my dad, and look, it has changed, and it's not, there are so many rogue hospices that are out, you know, like I said, it's all over, it's internationally, that this is happening in America.
Yes.
And, you know,
this is based on something they tried in the early, like somewhere around 2005 to 2008 in England. And you need to watch England because they'll experiment with different programs there. And if they're successful, they bring them here. And that was the pathway system. And in 2013, it was estimated that 1,300 elderly people were intentionally murdered because they were no longer of value to society. And that's before they caught them and got them to stop. What we know as hospice in this country is predicated now on the pathway system out of England. And the pathway system was premised on your path out of here. We're done with you. You can't contribute anything. You're taking money from us. And, you know, I have to go back to that book, and I've talked about this book several times because it was just stunning. It's called White Trash, 400-Year Untold History of America. And 200 years prior to us bringing Africans and Caribbean people here for slaves, what England did when they settled North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia was they gave noblemen thousands of acres of property, but to make it productive, they needed workers, and of course, the Indians gave them the bird and the tomahawk and left town. So what England did was they went in and they gathered up all of their poor people, all of the orphans, people who were in debtor's prison, actual prisoners who became slaves. The rest of them all became indentured servants. And when they ran out of people in England, they went to Ireland and started bringing people from Ireland here. So our first exercise in slavery was white on white. But we have come full circle on this. Now what we're doing is we're commodifying people again. We're treating them as commodities. And once you lose your value in the system, once you can't produce anymore, once you can't pay them back for whatever favor they gave you, they're going to get rid of you. And hospice is the perfect vehicle to do this. Luann, Robin, you're sitting there quiet. What you got to say?
My heart is breaking. I cannot stand the truth. It is horrifying. It is really awful. And my heart is breaking. I think about all of those lives.
Exactly.
I think about all of those people. Yeah. And I look at the breadth of it, how wide and vast this conspiracy of evil that has moved in and like a dark cloud in our society and is just killing people. And it's not just hospice. It's what the same people are doing with the food to push us into the medical system, with the medical system that's broken that kills more people than it heals, and with the hospice which exterminates the mistakes, the errors, and the unwanted. And it breaks my heart to have that so many people are unaware of how this wicked system is taking apart the lives of their friends, their loved ones, and will be there at their doorstep before they know it. It'll be their turn, and they don't even realize. They know nothing about the horror of it. They can't see it. They can't hear it. It's not tangible to them. And you try to tell them, and it just goes in one ear and out the other. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't fit in their worldview because of the worldview conditioning we all go through that tells us, oh, that couldn't possibly be the reality.
It's a reality.
Yes.
It's a reality.
Nailed it.
You know, it's really saddening. You know, because, you know, my brother passed away like 20 years ago, and we had hospice take care of him, and they did a really good job. And I never thought one day, just like probate courts or court, if you went in there, you wouldn't get any justice, and that just blew my mind. But to think that, you know, hospice now is as the Grim Reaper just blows your mind. It really does.
It's like they're exterminators working on a problem, like a roaches or rats.
Yeah,
let's get rid of them because they become a problem. It's horrifying. We're treating human beings this way.
Brian, they actually think, and you know, the thing about it is they're actually trained that it's more humane to do this, to kill them, than it is to give them life, you know, saving treatments. That, you know, and these, a lot of people, and it's sad, they live, they're doing this every day, and they're listening to the show, a lot of people. And they think that it is okay because they've been taught that it's okay. But it's never okay to murder someone, ever. That's not your, that is God. That is in God's hands. And I'm telling, and I would be scared to death to ever mess with that. You know, really.
Brian, what do you think?
Oh, I think that, Marty, it's an absolutely outrageous, you know. And then we also have to acknowledge the fact of the judicial process working in unison with all of these whores to place a value on somebody else's life, you know, while they can take and you can have four or five people feeding off of the backs of one, you know. And you've got all of these attorneys and shit that's going through, and they're fighting for all of these rights for them to be able to do this. And I keep saying that it's generational genocide. You know, the whole damn thing is stacked up, and you have a select group that think that they get to make a decision to place themselves in a position to be God, you know. And it's the American people are got to rise up. I mean, it just has to happen.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. Carly, I've got a message here from someone on Facebook who says,
yes.
Someone needs to look into hospice in Houston, Texas. They're killing people faster than the morgue can pick them up.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, thank you for bringing that, you know, to our attention. That's what we're trying to do. Please do get in touch. You know, do share your story. Whatever you've been told, get in touch with us. Get in touch with me. You know, you can reach me at victimsandwhistleblowers.com. Hidden Realities of Hospice on Facebook. I will respond to you. Please do get in touch with me. That's what we're here to do. We are here to sound, we are sounding the alarm as loud as we can to save lives. And thank you much for that comment.
Yeah. I have another comment here. This is from Ozark, Missouri. We have seen people literally smothered to death and the family told that they died in their sleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Holy crap.
So that's going to be a closer. Thank you so much for that comment as well. These people, that's what they do. They will go in there. They're actually called closers. And they finish the job. So
yes.
they finish the job off, and then they do lie to the family, and the medical records are falsified. So, you know, thank you for your honesty, and thank you for your, you know, for standing up for truth. Yes.
Well, one thing I can tell you, if someone is smothered, one of the telltale signs of that is what they call petechia, and that'll be blood spots in the white of the eye, actually on the iris also, but it shows oxygen deprivation. This occurs when someone is smothered, when something is physically put over their face, and this will also happen if someone is choked to death. You'll get what's called petechia in the eye, and these are little red dots that occur. It's blood in the eye. So if anyone who has a family member or a loved one in hospice who dies suddenly, if you can bear to do it, open their eyes and see what's there.
Autopsy if you're in that situation,
Well, that's the thing on autopsies. Now you have to sue and get a court order. If you can get one to get an autopsy done, they don't want these people autopsied. They don't want a top screen done because the evidence is there. And that's why they immediately cremate most of them to get rid of the evidence. And Anastasia Adams, they had to sue to get an autopsy. Had to sue to get an autopsy done. And they had to pay for it themselves. And
I don't know. Disgusting. Yeah. I mean, and it just gets worse and worse. I'm just going to tell you, the more that we find out, it gets worse and worse. But hopefully that with this show, I hope that we are going to change. I really do, Marty. And, you know, Luann and you know, Brian, you know, Mighty Mouse, look, I really do hope that we are going to change and save lives. No joke. This is one of the biggest, like, secrets that this should be on the news every night. Like, we should be exposing this. You know, journalists.
It's a national
investigative
disgrace.
Journalists.
Yeah.
It's a national disgrace. And, you know, and people, go ahead, Luann.
Marty, it's all a national disgrace. I mean, we got the hospice problems going on, which coincide with probate courts, and everything that we're doing nowadays is like a national crisis. I mean, it's so, we know we do radio shows all the time. We hear all these different stories with the farmers being pushed out of their property, and I just sit there and I just shake my head, like, what has this world come to? You know, it's hard to believe that people would actually take anybody that we love and they would just kill them like that just for profit. I mean, what kind of people are doing this besides sociopaths or people on SSRI drugs or whatever it is? I can't even think how they would even sleep at night. You know, I it's hard to even think about.
Yeah, it really is. I agree. Yeah. And one thing that was very chilling that when I was talking to this ex-hospice nurse that was telling me that they were murdering people where she worked is that they are very good at what they do. And, you know, that's why it's called stealth euthanasia. I mean, they're so good. They're so sly at what they do that they're killing them right in front of you and you're not realizing
yes.
it. And so you want to be able to catch that.
The other thing that I see happening is in virtually every state are coming out bills on right to die. You know, what do they call that? Euthanasia bills coming out. Mm-hmm. Basically mm-hmm. codifying into state law the right to kill somebody you've decided doesn't have any value anymore. And it will cost the system too much money to care for them. When did this get down to a matter of money? It never mattered before. You've got the medical industry as a whole defrauding Medicare of $30 to $60 billion a year in false charges. There's your mm-hmm. problem. It isn't the old people. I was on a show out in Los Angeles here a couple weeks ago, and a man called in, and he was just rabid talking about how these elderly people in Medicare was costing the country a fortune and why should they have to take care of us. And I said, you need to shut your yap here for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no one on Medicare gets it for free. The minimum premium due after paying into it for a lifetime, investing in it, is $233 a month, but it can run as high as $600-$800 a month person. Married couples each pay a separate premium that comes right out of their Social Security and goes right back into the system.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I said, and name me one Medicare beneficiary that has received a check for going to the doctor. And he goes, well, and I said, well, what? I said, what do you think? We go to the doctor and they give us a paycheck for doing that? No, we don't see any money. There's a copay for that doctor's visit on top of that insurance premium. I said, there is the donut hole from $2,500 to $5,000 where Medicare doesn't pay anything and you have to carry gap insurance, an additional policy. That was a gift to the insurance companies. And they only pay 80% of what's in that gap. And I said, then Medicare overall only pays 80%, leaving you holding the bag on 20%. Where did you get the idea that this was free? And then there is the copays on medications, the medications they don't cover. I said, here's all these charges. Tell me where you decided this was a free program. He said, well, I know what my state representative told me. I said, well, you need a new state representative because apparently that guy is an imbecile. And mm-hmm. it just, but people have these ideas, and what I'm hearing from people is, well, when you figure what it costs to take care of people, you know, maybe it's the best thing. You know, we can't keep providing all this free care. There isn't none of this free. And I invested in this over 55 years.
That's right.
I invested in this. This is not an entitlement. This was an insurance program that I invested in long before I ever needed it.
Right.
And I'm paying a premium just to access it. Plus, I'm paying all these co-payments. So what is it you think you're paying for? Well, you know, maybe some of these people just need to understand that, you know, they need to let go. And when I went to that hospice orientation up in St. Cloud, now I say this has been about 7 years ago, and I've talked about this before, that registered nurse standing up there saying, now your job is going to be to discourage ongoing medical care, especially catastrophic care. Just tell them they've had a long life and it's time to let go. Tell them they don't want to put their family through this. Don't put your family, don't put yourself through this. At which point I stood up and I said, why don't you just get a .38 and put a bullet in her head?
Right.
And she looked at me and she said, what? I said, when did you decide that someone's life was not worth saving or living? When did you decide that?
Mm-hmm.
And I got up and left, so did several other people, but it was nauseating, and I've heard your guest, Carly, talk about being spoken to in just exactly this manner, this condescension, you know, you don't want to put them through this, and then they always want to come in and give them a shot to make them more comfortable. Yes, let's do that.
Yeah, they do, or they'll stick the morphine, you know, in their mouth, and, you know, it's this is the most horrifying, this is the most disgusting, disgrace. I mean, we can say it is, it truly is, that it is, this is a modern day Holocaust. It is.
Yes.
Literally.
Yes. And you know, this is exactly what Hitler did. The first thing he did as he rolled through these communities and countries is he killed off the elderly. He killed off the disabled, educators, teachers, entertainers, anybody that might possibly be gay, oh, God forbid. But anybody that had any sort of infirmity or deformity, anything, those people were gone immediately. And we're seeing the same damn thing happen here. You're disabled, they want rid of you. You're old, they want rid of you. You got a genetic disorder, they want rid of you. And on that note of genetic disorders, this little baby Alfie that they just murdered had a rare genetic disorder. And I have been tracking for the last 2 years the number of young children that have been medically kidnapped by the hospital, most of whom now have their own guardians on staff. Go imagine such a thing. And the parents want to get a second opinion. CPS jumps in immediately and says you're unfit and you can't have a second opinion. And when did that become a crime, asking for a second opinion? And
really?
But many of these children are Hispanic or Black. And I see a disparity there. Now, little Alfie was not either of those things. But across the board, as near as I can tell, about 90% of the children that they do this to, that they medically kidnap with these rare genetic disorders, are Black or Hispanic. And what they are doing to them is experimenting on them and doing research with them. And the kids die, and oh, well, too bad they had this genetic disorder. You know, they weren't going to have any life anyway. And I don't think we're too far off with the current state of things. And I'd like everybody's opinion on this, quite honestly. But I don't think we're too far off to where we are going to start euthanizing babies who are not perfect. I think all of this effort to gather genetic material and see who has markers for possible genetic diseases later on in life, I think they are going to start euthanizing those babies. Now, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that, you know, from what I've seen, that I really do believe that they'll do anything. I mean, it's just, I've just heard from too many, I've just heard from thousands of people, period. And I believe that anything is possible, Marty. That's my professional opinion.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. Luann,
my
Robin,
opinion, Marty, if I can weigh it in there for a minute, I really believe that, you know, that might be the hope and the goal and the desires of some, but I'm believing that the American people and the spirit inside of them is going to rise up and, you know, make a demand that these things here not be tolerated, and those that want to do this nonsense and this ignorance, that they'd be the first ones to be euthanized. You know, I mean, this is this is absolutely crazy.
Yeah, there you go.
I hold out that hope. I really do. I hold out that hope, and I really, you know, pray every day that the Lord would move across this nation and show these people the abominations to which we have succumbed to, you know. And I truly believe in the American spirit. I believe in the American dream. I believe that, you know, people need to rise up and see this so that we do not have a repeat of exactly what transpired in Nazi Germany.
Yeah. There, it's the American eugenics program, which is what that started in the late 1800s. And that blueprint for eugenics was what was given to Hitler on how to exterminate unwanted populations. And I know everybody says, oh, it was the Jewish Holocaust. There were less than, they claim now, less than a million. One was too many. Jewish people were killed, but there were another 22 million people who were non-Jews who were also exterminated in that role across Europe. The Polish people, 7 million people killed because they weren't the right religion. They weren't the gypsies. My God, the purging of gypsies was absolutely unbelievable. But this eugenics, and then the American Eugenics Society in the early 1900s changed their name to the White Rose Society. Doesn't that sound nice and fluffy? But this is what Bill Gates follows. Bill Gates is all for euthanasia, vaccines to stop birth. This man needs to be locked up somewhere and his loony-looking wife with him. But this is a eugenicist, and this is what we're looking at here is eugenics. It is a culling of the population to get rid of people they consider disposable and unwanted. And like I say, we have come full circle from what we started from. The people that were originally brought here were considered a waste population, a human waste. And they were to be used, exploited, and done away with. And this is exactly what they did do. And, you know, something that may seem totally unrelated, but Dale Kopernik that took a knee and wouldn't do the anthem, most people don't know about the third stanza on that. I never knew about it till about a year ago. And the third stanza says that neither hireling nor slave will know anything but the gloom of the grave. And it goes on from there, and how they would wipe out their footprints from the shore. I'm sorry, I wouldn't stand and salute that myself. We have a history most of us have no cognizance of. We have no idea. We know what we were taught in school, and we have been trained carefully since childhood to believe that certain sectors, certain populations, certain religions, ethnicities, whatever, are somehow, it's okay to wipe them out. It's all right because they aren't you. And all of this, like you say, Carly, all of this sounds really fine till it lands on your doorstep. Till they decide you aren't acceptable. You have no value. And then, then you'll be upset. When it's your mom, your dad,
then it becomes
your brother,
very
your child.
Real. And then you see that please, that's why I'm begging people to listen. Do not put yourself and your family, your loved ones through this excruciating nightmare. Because it is.
The thing of going into the hospital and being afraid going into the hospital that you'll never see home again, that people you've never seen before are going to start making decisions about your life and the value of it and whether or not it has any value and what's going to be done to you from that point. And the isolation that we see in guardianship is occurring in these hospitals. They immediately cut off all access from the family. You can't see them. And once they're out of sight, now they can do whatever they want, and they do whatever they want. And they make mm-hmm. their own decisions. And while you may love and value grandma or grandpa, they don't. And it's just, I don't know.
People have to really get this. It is. It's sickening. I mean, it's enough to make you throw up. It's worse than that. I mean, it's to know this truth every day and to hear from people every day is one of the hardest mm-hmm. things. And,
yeah.
You know, but we must stand up and we must do something about it. We must talk about it. We have to have these conversations.
And
you know,
we've got to get this out.
People are uncomfortable with it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and I'm sorry if they're uncomfortable. I'm uncomfortable
right.
with people being murdered. It just upsets me
mm-hmm.
to no damn end. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so why aren't you upset about that? You know?
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
It just,
yeah, that's what I say.
Very good point.
There you go, Mighty Mouse.
Bring on, Marty.
I don't know. I get off on a rant.
I go right after them when they do that stuff. I just wish I could call my
but
I'm afraid to go into the facility because God knows what they'll do to me in there.
There you go. Yep, take
you're
your gate, Mighty. Wow. I don't know.
Well, let's start with an abundance of caution, all right?
Yeah.
That is
I mean, it's like you said, I mean, I'm glad that what you said, you're uncomfortable with people being murdered. And you know what? So am I. And so are so many others.
We all are.
You know. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And see, I want to know why these people are not charged with premeditated murder, because that's exactly what this is. It's premeditated murder.
Right.
Yeah, it is.
So,
yes, it is.
Discomfort. We have to be willing to be disruptors. We have to be willing to stand up in the middle of the assembly and say, are we the kind of people who tolerate murder? Because it's going on right now. Here's the evidence. I've got, a 1,000 people who will tell you, who are friends of my friends, who will tell you what happened in their families to their loved ones. And then consider that. Are we willing as a society to live in a society where this is how we do things?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
that's
and see, in every bit of this,
until we're ready to make people uncomfortable, they're going to stay comfortable. We're the ones that have to shake them up and wake them up. And it's dangerous. Doctors that teach people how to actually heal themselves get killed for it. One after another, after another, after another, after another, after another, after another.
Yeah.
Who's ever held responsible? Well, we can't.
Nobody.
We also
mm-hmm.
have to stick together.
And it is hard to get them because it's a coordinated conspiracy.
We also have to work together on getting all these legislators voted out who are not standing up, for the families of each state. And I think that, in the states that you could vote out them judges, vote them out. I mean, that's what we're trying to do here is we're working together with the Judicial Integrity Project and many other organizations here to start passing the word about getting in some of these people that are going to fight for our families and get the people out that want to profit.
Everything's got a policy behind it, a written policy somewhere. It's finding that policy, and that policy is the money train. And that's exactly what these politicians are after, that federal money, and they'll kill you to get it. We've got 60 seconds left here, Carly. Did you want to have some last words and close this down?
Yeah. I just wanted to thank everyone that came on tonight and us having this open mic. I think it's very powerful for us to have these conversations. It's powerful that we can talk openly about it and not be afraid, because people, I find, that approach this and come to me, they say, God, I wish I would have, asked this question. I wish I would have questioned this doctor. I wish I would have done this. Don't be afraid to question people that our doctors. They're just practicing medicine, okay? You know, I know, don't be afraid to do that. And don't, and definitely, you know, Marty, you talk about second opinions. Don't tell the doctor you're going to get a second opinion. Don't tell that doctor you're going to do that. Don't do that, people. Be really protect yourselves. And get the Protected Medical Decisions document for the $15 donation at Patients Rights Council. That's one of the strongest medical power of attorneys that you can have to protect you and your loved ones. And stay the hell away from hospice. Tell them no, you don't need anything. And do not tell them anything that you have. Any of your assets?
No.
Nothing. Do not. Or palliative care. Just stay away from palliative care as well. And do not tell them anything of your personal information. Do not, because they're going to hound you. If you go into a hospital, they will hound you, literally. And you get home help instead, okay? For those that cannot, that don't have family, and even if you do, get home help. They will not murder you. They will give you pain management. They will help you no matter what disease you have. They will give you medicine to help you manage your pain, but they're not going to kill you.
There you go.
So that's
going
to be, that's really what we need to focus on.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, everybody, we're down to the end of the show here. Luann, Robin, Brian, thank you for joining in tonight. We truly appreciate it. And we're going to do this again. We're going to do this. Was a good conversation. We're going to do it again. Carly, we need to close down here. So I'm going to say goodnight to everybody. And I'll be back Thursday night with Whistleblowers. See you all then.
Okay.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you, everyone. Have a good
night, everybody. Good night, Carly.
Good night. Thank you, everyone. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.